enjoyed, just the song we sang a moment ago as a congregational, holy, holy, holy. And then the response even that Isaiah gave in Isaiah 6 was, here am I, Lord, send me. So that, those two together really worked well. So, I do believe that God is still calling.
Yes.
Men and women to, was that, Billy Graham, wasn't it? Amen. His mic's still on. The Lord's still calling. And, he may call some of you to serve Him, and that's certainly not something to avoid. That's something to embrace, and by the way, every one of you are called if you're saved, because as He which is holy, so be ye holy. He's called you to be holy. So everybody here is called in that sense. And so thank you, y'all. That was wonderful. I really enjoyed that, benefited from it. Made me thankful to get to serve Him. And I just want to say a word about this week. Thank you so much. It's been a great delight to be here. And I didn't... I didn't know a lot of you, coming up here. But I feel like we've got connected. And I sure thank God for it. And I believe... I was just asking Brother Terrence a moment ago. I just found the biggest guy in the room to sit by because I didn't know anybody, so I felt safe all week. But I said, hey, the Bible in Titus 2 talks about aged men, aged women, and I think you all have honored the aged men and aged women of this camp video by video. And thank you all for sharing your heart. This is biblical. That we have the aged men, aged women, young men, young women. I'll just let you figure out which category you fall into right there. But that's going on here. And I said to Brother Terrence, is it like this every year? He said, this is really like a family reunion is what this is like. And I appreciate that. It's wonderful. So I commend you. Thank you, Brother Grohl, for the invitation to come. I've been blessed. A lot of people think that young people can't handle Bible preaching. A lot of people think that young people, they don't want to sing hymns anymore. They need a praise band. But you're proving all of that wrong. Because all you need to have is just a heart for God and good godly music and good godly standards like you have. I just commend you for continuing to do that. This is not the norm across our country, and it's desperately needed. So may God help us just to keep doing our part, regardless of what other people are doing. We're here, number one, just to try to please and honor God and not make a point to anybody else. But by honoring God, you make a point. And so I just want to commend the young people. I also echo regarding all those that are SOS and the way that you serve, the pastors, the youth workers. Young people, they've done a lot of work to make this a special camp, and maybe you're going to do this tomorrow, but it won't hurt to do it even tonight. How about you show appreciation for all those workers and the leadership that's here tonight? Tremendous. That's a blessing. So thank you for all the good specials, and Brother Graham, thank you for leading the congregationals like you did, and I love singing "I Want That Mountain." That was so good. That's a blast. And he really gets into it. I love that. So it's just enjoyable. And thank you for my cape. Wow. I've never had a cape before. So this is a special moment, And then the shirt, with the chocolate milk deal. And I didn't notice it until I got down there and Brother Terrence and I were looking at it a little bit more, but it says Swanky Milk even on it. So... That's so good. I don't know who drew that, but you've got a real talent. Drew the Nestle Quick little bunny guy. And man, that's so good. So, and you signed it, so that's really exciting. I appreciate your thoughtfulness there. That made my day. So thank you very, very much. All right, well, let's go to the book of Judges here once again tonight, if you would, please. Judges 16. Judges chapter 16. Samson was supposed to be a picture of God's holiness, but unfortunately, he, instead of that, was a picture of the compromise of the people of God. And so instead of being a picture of God to Israel, he's really more a picture of Israel and their backslidden state and why they would soon be taken into captivity and be defeated, just like Samson would be. We're going to read about it here in just a moment as he's going to be taken to the southernmost part of the land of the Philistines. He had the call of God on his life. He was called and had a special vow upon his life, a vow of a Nazarite, where he's not to drink any strong drink or wine. He was not to even have grapes and not to touch a dead body and certainly not to fraternize with the enemy. And yet over and over we see him compromising. And I just want to encourage you regarding what God's done in your heart this week. You know, having a great week of camp is no guarantee that you'll live it out in your life. And Samson had a lot of spiritual advantages in his life, and unfortunately, he wasted his potential because he was pursuing his pleasure more than his purpose. He had an appetite for the forbidden, which honestly, every one of us do. Every one of us do. That is in our flesh, in our sin nature. And I believe it's Brother Ben that gave the devotion each morning after breakfast. And I was challenged by that my sin nature gives me problems. Sometimes your sin nature is going to give somebody problems, and sometimes your sin nature is going to give somebody else problems. That's some really great insights, and don't make dramatic what's already traumatic. That was really good. I appreciate that. And then, of course, the message today at noonday about making wrong right. You know, I mean, you've been given a whole lot, and as was mentioned, to whom much is given, much is required. And so Samson did. He had God's call in his life, but he lived a very puzzling life. He tried to live in both worlds. And at a time when he ought to have been thirsting for God, he was thirsty enough to cry out to God because he was thirsty. And yet he wasn't repentant. And yet, I mean, God had just delivered him from 1,000 Philistines, given him victory with the jawbone of an ass. And yet he took all the praise to himself and called it Jawbone Hill. And even when God made the jawbone to become basically a water fountain where he could get drink and sustain his life, he called that place in Hakkori, which means, you know, the well, the one who cries, the one who calls. I mean, he made the whole thing about himself. Well, hey, look, we're here on earth to make much of God, not make much of ourselves. So that was Samson's fallacy, is his selfishness and his pride and his arrogance and all those things. And yet God was working in his life, and I thank God for that. Well, tonight that brings us now to Judges chapter number 16. So would you stand in honor of God's word as we get into it? A very important challenge here tonight, and I pray that it would literally bring you to a crossroads. That it would bring you to a crossroads where you recognize, I can't go both ways. I've got to choose either the path that God has for me, or I'm going to go my own way. And it won't be the only time that you'll face that crossroads, but I pray that you would very squarely face it tonight with great clarity and understanding that I've got to make a decision, and it'd be best for you to go ahead and make the decision now at camp than waiting until after you leave camp. It's going to help you to make that decision, but you're going to have to make that decision on a day-to-day basis too. Judges 16, verse 1. Let's just read a few of the verses here in this chapter. Judges 16, verse 1. This is right after God just delivered him from death. You'd think he'd be getting right. You'd think he'd be fully repentant. But please look at verse 1 when it says, "Then went Samson to Gaza." Gaza. We're hearing a lot about Gaza in the news right now, aren't we? Same area. Southernmost part of the Philistine area. Gaza. "Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there an harlot and went in unto her." He's there and the city is surrounded. They lie in wait. It says in verse 3, "Samson lay till midnight and arose at midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city," which, by the way, would have been massive. So did the study. I mean, these were massive gates, doors of the city, massive. And he carried them 40 miles, if you do the math, from Gaza to Hebron or Hebron, as it is, what we just sang about in the song, is the land of Caleb. I mean, you kind of think, all right, finally, he's getting right with God, and he's going back to the land of Israel, and he's going back to the land of Caleb and Hebron. Look at verse 4. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. Delilah. The word for night in Hebrew is Lalila. Delilah would be something of this nature, of the night, woman of the night. Ironically, the name Samson means sun, like the sun in the sky, little sun. So here is one who's supposed to be radiating the light of God's holiness, loving a woman of the night, Delilah. Verse 5. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, now notice this, verse 6, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. Now, right there, that should have been red flag. If your fiance or your girlfriend says to you, how can we just whoop you real good? Leave. Leave immediately. So then you have the situation with the green withes, and then the new ropes, and then the weaver's loom, and then finally she nags him to the place that he tells her. You know, I kind of feel like we've been through this before with Samson. Whole nagging thing. All right. Verse 15, look at it. She said unto him, how canst thou say, I love thee, when thine what? What's the next word? Heart is not with me. You know what? Actually, Delilah asked a very, very good question right there. How can you say you love me when your heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. He was tired of the nagging. Verse 17, notice that he told her what? Let's say it together. All his heart. He said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he told her, let's say it all together again, all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath shown me, let's say it one more time, all his heart. Then the lord of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And so, obviously, he went to sleep. They shaved his head. Eventually, they're going to take him back down to Gaza. They poke out his eyes. The man who said, she pleaseth me well, she's right in my eyes, lost his eyes. And then he died with the Philistines because he thought he could live with them. Tonight, the title of the message is this. You ready? You ready? This is very important. Two calls for your one full surrender. Two calls for your one full surrender. Two calls for your one full surrender. The danger of a divided heart. The danger of a divided heart. Father in heaven, please help us now. I believe this is such an important message. It'll need the liberty that only you can provide. I thank you for these young people. They've been a real blessing. And I thank you for my new friends. I pray, God, that you'd bless them. I pray that you bless whoever's preaching tomorrow. I know this is not the end of camp. But God, you've brought us on these night services to this very important matter of surrender. And it is where it is in the text. And it's all about the heart. And so I pray that you'd help everybody here to really take it in and consider who it is that has their heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Two calls for your one full surrender. I believe that the words of Solomon apply here once again, as we mentioned even last night, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep thy heart. The heart is over and over emphasized in the Word of God. In fact, I just did a study on it, even getting ready for a sermon on Sunday about the heart and how that God wants to give you a new heart. And so that's certainly throughout the Word of God. The book of Genesis tells us about man, how that as God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. He also said, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. He also said this in Matthew chapter number 15, that it's not what goes into a man that defiles a man, but it's what comes out of a man that defiles a man. And he gave more explanation to it when he said in verse 19, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemy, all that comes out of the heart. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 12, the writer says this, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you, and he's writing this as a sermon basically to the Hebrew believers, and he's writing it to believers and saying, listen, take heed, take warning here, because lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. One of the key verses from my life as a teenager was in the book of Proverbs, chapter 23, and I would go downstairs in the five-year-old class. My mom was playing piano for our choir. I would go downstairs and just kind of have a time of prayer in the kindergarten room, but also in this kindergarten room, Miss Tana had along the border up on the wall, up at the high, at the ceiling, all the verses like A, all of sin and come short of the glory of God, B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember all those alphabet verses, you know? Well, I'd get to the letter M, and it was, my son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. And so every week, a practice of mine was just to be able to, was to go down there and say, God, I want to give you my heart this week. My son, give me thine heart. My son, give me thine heart. And so I made a practice of that, and I believe it was a great help to me as a teenager. Charles Bridges wrote a great commentary on the book of Proverbs, and he said this, assaulted as we are at every point, every inlet of sin must be strongly guarded. It is fearful to think of all the many watchful, subtle assailants to the heart. Let the heart be closely garrisoned. Let the heart be closely garrisoned. Let the sentinel, in other words, let the gatekeeper, let the sentinel never be sleeping. The heart must be known in order to be effectually kept. Then he said this, nothing is more difficult while nothing is more necessary. Nothing is more difficult than you keeping your heart, and nothing is more necessary. You see, as we come here to the book of Judges chapter 16, and we look at the first few verses, what we're looking at is we're looking at two things really as it pertains to Samson. And that would be these two things. One would be a drifting heart. A drifting heart. as he's drifting once again away from God's purpose in his life, and he's drifting all the way down to the land of Gaza, 40-some miles south of Jerusalem. And so he's drifting further and further away. So you have, on one hand, a drifting heart. But he has a drifting heart, here's why, because he has a divided heart. He has a divided heart. Okay, and so God is trying to get his attention once again, of course, but mainly tonight we're looking at where you are, and I want you to consider tonight if you have a drifting heart or if you have a divided heart. You know, here's one thing I've learned along the way. Satan doesn't mind if you have a divided heart. God does. Satan doesn't mind if you have a divided heart because he understands if you have a divided heart, eventually you'll come over to his side and way of life. God wants your whole heart. And by the way, God deserves your whole heart. Here is Samson, the man of God, the judge of Israel, and he's on his way down to Gaza. And the Bible tells us in verse number 1 that he went into a harlot, a prostitute. And he paid her for her services. But I say to you tonight that, listen, he paid for more than just that. He's going to pay with his life in just a few days. You see, sin will indeed. I know preachers have been preaching this for many years, but another generation needs to hear it, that your sin will take you further than you ever thought that you would go. Sin will keep you longer than you thought you would ever stay. Sin will thrill, but sin will kill. Sin will fascinate, but sin will assassinate. You see, that's the deadly nature of sin. And Samson is drifting further and further away from God. And here he is once again, even as the man of God, even as the judge of Israel, committing fornication with a prostitute. At midnight, the city is surrounded. And Samson realizes that he's got to escape. And so in the middle of the night, he gets up and he literally tears. Some say they may have been two stories high, as tall as even maybe that dark line that's right there, taking it out of the city. I mean, this was a massive gate and he carried it 40 miles. I mean, once again, the text is just showing us what great potential that Samson had. I look out here tonight and I see great potential. I see a heart for God. I see young people that want to do something for God. I see young people that want to help people get the Bible and help get scriptures and help get tracts. Hey, listen, there's great potential here, but you need to understand something. There's a real enemy of your soul. You know what you ought to be doing at midnight? Sleeping. Somebody say amen right there. You ought to be asleep, but here's the problem. Sin won't let you have a good night's sleep. Some of you right now, your phone goes off in the middle of the night, zzz, 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 and you text, and you have no idea what you text. You know what you need to do? Turn the phone off and go to sleep. Turn it off and go to sleep. Just go to sleep. I'm telling you, it's wonderful. Just go to sleep. Just don't be caught up in everything that young people your age are caught up in. And listen, by the way, whatever you sent by way of text, you better make sure her daddy would be all right with it. Amen. Otherwise, you might hear something like this. Amen? Or a 50 cal around here in Wisconsin. Huh? Hey, listen, you better make sure that if her daddy intercepted that, he's going to be all right with it. By the way, you better make sure her daddy said you could text her in the first place. How are we doing? Can I just clear off a spot right here and talk to you just a little bit before we move on about sexual purity? Because that's so important in your life. Samson was not sexually pure. You need to be sexually pure. Samson threw his wife away because, listen, he didn't have control of the desires and the appetites of his flesh. God wants you to be holy. Hey, listen, I understand the desire that you as a young man have towards a young lady or vice versa, young lady towards a young man. I understand that. In fact, I often say this. I try to get this across. I emphasize this at the Bible college where I serve and everything very, very often, that a fire in the house is fine as long as it's in the fireplace. A fire in the house is fine as long as it's in the fireplace. But if the fire gets out of the fireplace and into the living room, into the bedroom, and into the kitchen, you got problems. Water in a river is fine as long as it's within its banks. I'm just simply saying to you here tonight that, listen, that sexual desire that is a God-given desire is fine. It's God-given. It's an understandable desire. But it's got to be within its banks. It's got to be in its place. And here's its place. It's called marriage. And you got to have a license. I'm talking about a marriage license. I'm talking about God's authority, God's approval. You got to wait on God. And I'm here to tell you, it's worth the wait. Don't mess your life up before it ever starts. Just wait on God. You know what you need to do right now? Just go to sleep. That's what Adam did. He went to sleep. God put him to sleep. He'd had a long day, don't you know? He named all the animals of the kingdom, Mr. Horse and Mrs. Horse, Mr. Cow and Mrs. Cow, Mr. Pig and Mrs. Pig, Mr. Dog and Mrs. Dog, Mr. Frog and Mrs. Frog. He named all the animals, but there wasn't one found meat for him. Boom, God gave him a powerful anesthetic and he went out. God took from his side a rib, and from that rib he fashioned a woman, and he, God, brought her unto the man. He didn't say, Adam, I've taken her, hidden her somewhere here in the garden, go find her. He didn't have to use eHarmony either. He didn't have to use other website. No, here's what he did. He just went to sleep. Go to sleep. Not physically. He just went to sleep, and he waited on God, and God brought her to the man, and he woke up that day. He woke up same day. I mean, he named all the animal kingdom. He named all the kingdom, and he woke up, and he said, oh, whoa, whoa, wow, bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, she shall be called, whoa, man. Because she was taken out of man. Whoa. Hey, that's God's plan. You can wait on God. No, I understand the desire. I heard about the young man that was at youth camp and he was holding his girlfriend's hand at youth camp. At youth camp. Can you believe that? And thank you. And his youth pastor came up to him and said, young man, don't you know the Bible says that it's not good for a man to touch a woman? He said, yes, sir, the Bible does. But the Bible also says this, hold fast to that which is good. All right. Now, he twisted that. Don't you use that, all right? Yeah. Boy, when I was a teenager, Reno Likens would preach some of our youth meetings, and he'd tell us about this young man that prayed he wanted to kiss his girlfriend. I understand it. I get the desire, but you're supposed to wait for all those things. I said, you're supposed to wait for all those things. I'm going to say it one more time. I said, you're supposed to wait for all those things. The only reason you get on an interstate ramp is if you're ready to get on the interstate. All those things are like the entrance ramp. And there's only one reason to get on the entrance ramp is if you're getting on the interstate. Are you listening to me here, right here, right now? I mean, you gotta get this right down your heart and soul. This young man wanted to kiss his girlfriend and began to pray. Father, Father up above, may I kiss the one I love? And the answer came back, no. He prayed again, Father, Father up above, may I kiss the one I love? And the answer came back, no. But on his wedding day, he stood there with the pastor. She came down the aisle. He preached his charge and all those things. And then finally, it came time for the kiss. And he prayed this way, Father, Father, up above, may I kiss the one I love? The answer came back, son, son, down below, pucker up and let her go.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, listen, I get it. I understand that. You know, I remember when I was in a visitation meeting and Angie was sitting beside me. This wasn't when we were married. We were just kind of interested in one another, started talking, all those things. And I just accidentally touched her elbow. Like her elbow touched my elbow. And I thought in my mind, we just touched elbows. Totally accidental, but we just touched elbows. Hey, look, I'm just trying to say I understand that, but if the bus leaves at 6, don't get on at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Otherwise, you've got a long time to wait. It'll get hot. You'll get frustrated. Just wait till it's time. I'm telling you, you can trust God with this area. We'd say to Tyler when he was a real little kid, and he's like 2 years old or one and a half, whatever age kids are drinking from sippy cups, you know what I mean, sippy cups. And we'd say, Tyler, drink from thine own sippy cup. Because he'd go around and he'd drink from Emery's sippy cup and Michaela's sippy cup and this sippy cup and that sippy cup. And we'd say, drink from thine own sippy cup. You know what's wrong with a lot of young people in America today in terms of sexuality? They're drinking here and drinking here and drinking here. They're with this person, with that person, with that person, with that person. Somebody they don't even know, doing favors, sexting this, sending this picture, doing this. Hey, I'm just simply saying to you, listen, God's way will never be beaten. God's way will leave you not feeling guilty. God's way is truly satisfying. Everything else is fake and phony. Hey, listen, you just wait on God, would you please? So make sure what you listen to is filling your mind with the right kind of things. And what you're watching is filling your mind with the right kind of things. And what you're wearing. So, oh man, I thought we made it a whole week without the preacher getting undressed. Nope. Nope. No, because men and women both need to dress modestly. Because what you have is a gift and you need to wrap the gift. And use lots of paper. Are you following me?
Amen.
Yes. Just wait on God here. Be sexually pure with the help. Listen, this I understand. If you do this, you're going totally countercultural. Am I right about this? You're going totally countercultural in your generation. I totally get that. But do not forget that the Holy Spirit of God has called you to live holy, and the Holy Spirit can help you to be holy. So you got to say no so you can say yes. There's a greater yes. There's a greater yes. And so listen, I mean, like when we were driving here, as Brother Rick was driving me here, we had to say no to that road and 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 no to that road so that we can say yes to the right road. Otherwise, I have no idea in the world where we'd be right now. I mean, if you just go through life, I'm going to say yes to this road. I'm going to say yes to this one. Yes to this one. You follow me? No, you don't know. Don't follow me because you have no idea where I'm going to end up, right? Just so I'm saying to you, young ladies, listen, there's a bunch of bozos in this world. I mean, there's a bunch of bozos in this world. I said one more time, there's a bunch of bozos in this world. Amen, amen, amen. And you got to say no to that bozo and 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 to that bozo. So you can walk down that aisle and say yes to the right man. And young man, let me tell you something to help you out here tonight. There's a bunch of bozos. That's the Spanish feminine form of bozo, don't you know? And so you got to say no to that bozo and that bozo and that bozo. And so you can say yes to the right young lady. I'm just simply trying to get across tonight. Hey, listen, say no so you can say yes. Oh, you need to make up your mind tonight. I'm going to say no to the sensuality of this world so that I can say yes to what God's will is in my life. But you can't go any further with a divided heart. Like, I hear what you're saying, preacher, and I know that what you're saying is right, but you don't understand the youth culture today. You don't understand just all that we can just kind of scroll through and all that's out there. You don't really even understand all that's going on. Hey, listen, you got something on me because I don't fully understand. But here's what I know. The Holy Spirit of God does, and He wants you to be holy in your generation just like He did in my generation, and He can help you just like He helped me, and He can change your life and spare your life and help your life so that you can say yes and be fulfilled. But you got to make up your mind tonight. I'm not going to try to go both ways, because you need to stop living a hypocritical life one way on Sunday, another way on Friday night. If you are, hey, this is real stuff right here, isn't it? Here's where it led. He met Delilah. Most of us know him as Samson and Delilah. But his problems didn't start with Delilah, did they? Remember, if we just go back, he met that girl, Timnath. We don't even know her name. And he lost his goat. He tried to be swanky. Just had to work that in somewhere. And he was drinking, not chocolate milk. Brittle bones, don't you know? He had to have brittle bones if he wasn't drinking chocolate milk. Look, I'm just simply saying his problem started because he didn't have a right relationship with his parents and he had a wrong kind of girlfriend. Yeah. He did not say no. It's exactly right. Enter Delilah. And Sorek, by irony or by design, literally has to do with grapes. It's a place of a choice vine, as the idea is. I looked up the word Sorek, it means choice of a place vine. It's interesting. Here's a man with a Nazarite vow and a place of a choice vine. He meets Delilah. The lords of the Philistines are willing to pay her, was it 1,100 pieces of silver apiece? That's a lot of money. I mean, Abraham paid 400 pieces of silver for the land of Machpelah. They're willing to pay 1,100 times five. So she, even if she liked Samson, there was too much money on the line to be loyal to him. So she thought. Sammy, I was just wondering, if we wanted to afflict you, just saying, if we did, like, we've tried a lot to defeat you, but we haven't. But like, if we wanted to be able to defeat you, how could we do that? Oh, well, I'm just thinking right there, he had a cape moment. Well, if you want to defeat me, here's what you should do. Take green withes, which would be like tendons. Maybe they use for tent stakes, like to tie them down, made out of animal tendons. Again, he's violating his vow. Take those tendons, take those green withes, and wrap me up in them. I'll be like any other man. He went to sleep. She wrapped him up in these green withes. Now, hang on. I'm going to stop a few times along the way as I'm telling this, because there's some things that we need to observe and just ask, how in the world? Because here he is, this grown man, and she's like wrapping him up. I don't know what she... Roll him over? I mean, you talk about a heavy sleeper. Some of you may be like in the guy's dorm right now. Rawr, 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 that alarm going off for 30 minutes. Brother's still dead. Samson's out. She wraps him up in these green withes. At the same time, there is these men hiding in the bedchamber. And so what she did, she wrapped him up real tight. She said, Samson, Samson, the Philistines be upon me. They come out. They're ready to do fights. And he breaks up. He gets up and he says, poof. Just broke those cords, and he did a little bit of foo-bam action on him. You know what I'm talking about? Foo-bam. He got a little bit of foo-bam, foo-bam, dropkick, foo-bam, clothesline, foo-bam, suplex, foo-bam. And those guys walked out kind of like this. That didn't work. So she said, Sammy, that was funny. Not so much. Sammy, how can you embarrass me like that? Tell me, how is it that we can whoop you just really good? Oh, I tell you, if you take these new ropes, now they gotta be new ropes, you take these new ropes and you wrap me up, I'll be like any other man. Here she goes again, he goes to sleep. Zonked out. Samson, the Philistines be upon thee. These guys come out thinking, man, I hope this gets it right. He comes out, big old drop kick, boom, and then a body slam, and then a pile driver, poof, a DDT, poof, I don't know. Again, they're saying, that didn't work. Samson, how can you say that you love me when your heart is not with me? Oh, she's on to something right there. Because whoever has your heart determines the direction of your life.
Oh, you need to get that down. Write that down right now. Whoever has your heart determines the direction of your life. Whoever has your heart, young men, determines the direction of your life. Whoever has your heart, young lady, will determine the direction of your life. Whoever has your heart, preacher, will determine the direction of your life. She said, Samson, how can you say that you love me when your heart is not with me? He said, simmer down, girl. Here's all you got to do. You take my hair and you just weave it in the weaver's loom. Thing that they'd use, you know, to weave fabric and such. I'll be like any other man. Hang on, time out. He's getting closer. Now it's about his hair. You take my hair and you just weave it in there. And so he went to sleep and she weaved it. I don't know how to weave. She wove it, weaved it. Anyways, she got it in there. He's got it all wrapped up. I saw one while we were in Israel. It's, you know, it's a pretty good size standing loom and Florida ceiling there, or that height, something like that. And so he's there, and she said, Samson, the Philistines be upon thee. And I don't know exactly how it was. I just have in my mind's eye, it had to be something like this, because he's got his head all tied up in this, and I think it was kind of like this, bam, bam. As he's taking that weaver's loom, and it's bam, bam. How can you say you love me when your heart's not with me? And then daily, how can you say you love me when your heart's not with me? Samson, you don't even love me. I do love you, Delilah. I've been with you how long now? A month. See, I love you, Delilah. I love you. Stop. You don't love me. And then back and forth they go. Yeah, I do love you. I do. Okay, all right, all right, all right. Look. I've been a Nazarite all my life. He's almost saying that like he resents it. You know, some of you could say, it'd be like this. I've been an independent fundamental Baptist all my life. All I wanted to be was just normal. I just want to be a normal teenager. Okay. You want to be a normal teenager? Have you looked at normal teenagers lately? How messed up they are? Do you really want to be a normal, how much drama there is at Burger King? Do you want to be a normal teenager for real? Smoking, vaping, drugging, drinking, carousing, messed up, hurt family, messed up. No, we really stop and think about it. You want to be a normal, I've been a Nazarite all my life. I'll tell you what you do. If you take my hair and you shave it off, I'll be like any other. And she saw it right there. When she saw that he told her all his heart, she knew she had him. She called the men in and set up Delilah's hair salon. Now, this is another good little place to pull off and just say something else. Has nothing to do with the message, but everything to do about the well-being of America. We need more barbershops in America. You say, what in the world's a bald guy got to do with a barbershop? I'm telling you, it's a piece of masculinity. I'm talking about old school barbershops with the red, white, and blue spinning on the outside. Will you come in there and the man knows how to cut your hair and he's got a straight razor where he's gonna shave your neck and he is as straight as his razor is. We need some old-fashioned barbershops in America. And so you young men, don't you go to some, amen, thank you. Don't you go to some sissy hair salon. You go to a real man's barbershop. I'm passionate about it. He went to sleep. She called in the Philistine hair salon. And they shaved his head. Samson, the Philistines be upon thee. And the Bible says that he got up and he shook himself. And then it says something else interesting. He wist not, which simply means this. He didn't even realize, he didn't even know The power of God had left him. And the man who had humiliated so many Philistines would stand and be led out by a little boy, humiliated as they praised their god Dagon. And he stood between two posts, and he prayed that God might give him strength, and he's still self-centered even in his prayer because he prayed that God might help him to avenge himself of the Philistines. I'm telling you, he died like he lived. His life ended tragically because God had a call on his life, but he didn't have his heart. He went deeper and deeper into the levels of sin's deceit because God had a call on his life, but he did not have his heart. We're here tonight and here this week because God in heaven, who is holy, 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 has his call on your life, on your life. He has his call on your life. He's got his call on your life. But I'm asking tonight, does he have your whole heart or just part of your heart? If we had time tonight, we'd go to the story of Ruth and Boaz, a young lady who gave God her heart, even though she had a sinful past. But here's what God did. Because she had a right heart, God brought a man named Boaz into her life. And this man named Boaz would be her kinsman redeemer and redeem her. And they would get married and they would have a son named Obed. And Obed would have a son named Jesse. And Jesse would have a son named David. And he's the king of Israel. And he would have eventually a young virgin girl named Mary. And she would have by virgin birth a Savior named Jesus.
Amen.
See, that's what God can do in the life of somebody that'll just give him their heart. Now, here's some of your problems, and I'm done. Some of you are trying to live in both worlds. You like camp, and you like what's going on here, and it's probably been like a big-time relief to you to be here and be away from all the stuff that you've been involved in. It's like your heart has been unburdened. I hope that's what it's like. But there's still part of you that wants to go back. I love the Spanish language. Me amo español. Algún día me gustaría predicar en español. Someday I'd like to preach in Spanish. Amen. Amen. One time I tried to say in Spanish, I've got Jesus in my heart. Yo tengo Jesucristo en mi corazón. But instead of corazón, I said corbata. Yo tengo Jesucristo en mi corbata. Corbata means my tie. Isn't that right? I got Jesus in my tie. It's a real spiritual tie. Right? So I'm learning Spanish. One of my friends who pastors a Spanish church and he said, hey, if you really want to learn Spanish, just get a Spanish girlfriend. This is just an illustration. Let's say I get a Spanish girlfriend. I'm married to my wife, Angie. I come over here to Angie and I say, Angie, I love you with all of my heart. And then I come over here to my Spanish girlfriend and I say, mi novia, te amo. Con todo de mi corazón. I come over here and I say it real loud. Angie, I love you with all my heart. Mi novia, baby. Te amo con todo de mi corazón. I come over here and I say it real swanky. Angie, I love you with all of my heart. I come over here and say, mi novia. Te amo con todo de mi corazón. Kind of let it fade right there. Con todo de mi corazón. I come over here and I give her flowers. I come over here and I give her flores. I come over here and I give her chocolate. I come over here and give her dulce. I come over here and I give her a car. And I come over here and I give her a carro. You say, this is crazy. You got it. But here's how some of you are living. Oh, how I love Jesus over here. But then on your playlist, maybe even one your parents don't know about, you've got country music, rock, rap, punk, whatever else it might be, that's just bringing you down spiritually. But you're living one way at church and another way around your friends or on your own, and you've got a divided heart. And I'm here to tell you tonight, as much as I can say with love in my heart for each and every one of you, you're in a very dangerous place if he doesn't have your whole heart. Two calls for your one full surrender. Let's stand together tonight. Two calls. I prayed about this, and I believe this is how we're going to do the invitation tonight. She's going to begin to play. I'm just going to put it out there to you. It may cause you to stop and think, okay, do I want to go to the altar or not? But if you've had, and some are already coming, that's perfectly fine. But listen, if you've had a divided heart, I want to ask you to come first and say, God, I've had a divided heart. But I want to give, you got to be serious about this. I don't want to play games with you, but if you say, God, I've had a divided heart, but I want to give you my whole heart, then would you come as we begin to play? That's what the invitation, the first bit is for. If you want to talk to somebody, one of your youth pastors, and whatever decisions you make, by the way, at this camp, you've got to pass on to your parents, even if they don't understand. I remember saying to my dad, I was talking through tears, Dad, God's called me to preach. And he wasn't a man in church. My mom was. But I told my parents about it. And you need to tell your youth workers and pastors about it. But I've had a divided heart. That's his first group coming here. God, I'm sorry I've had a divided heart. I want to give you my whole heart. Now, I want to open it up to everybody here tonight. If you still want to come and join these, then you come. If you see somebody here you want to come pray with, workers, please look around, see. There may be some that need somebody to pray with them. You know them. If you're thankful that God already has your heart, as best you know, between you and God, and you just want to say, God, I just want to let you help me keep my heart, then would you come tonight? Dear God in heaven, as these are praying, I don't want to say any more to interrupt what you may be doing. So God, I just want to pray that you would help anyone here that's in a spiritual battle. Maybe they need salvation or they need separation from the world and its allurements, its entanglements. Samson got so entangled that he could not do your will. God, maybe somebody here that needs to recommit to you about sexual purity, or commit to you in the first place. I pray tonight they'd make some major decisions. Maybe some that are trying to live two lives, a double-minded man or woman. God, would you root all that out tonight in Jesus' name? Amen. As you continue praying, and if you still need to come, come as she continues to play.